Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the best of the Phillies on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Bryce Harper, Rob Thompson. Here's what Rob Thompson said. 3 years in a row, he has excelled in October baseball. And what you sense could be on the horizon for him the next couple weeks?
Yeah, I think he's as motivated as any athlete on the planet to win a championship. I know that. You know, when he left Washington to come here, Washington wins the World Series right away. And there's, you know, a lot of noise from other places that, you know, they could win without Harper. I think that type of thing motivates him. And I think he wants to win so badly.
I love it.
In Philadelphia, it's just, I don't really know the word put to it, but I can tell you that he is really, really motivated.
I mean,
maniacal. I hope it's maniacal motivation.
I love it.
That's what we're looking for.
I love it. All right, so game one tomorrow is 6:38 p.m. The Phils and the Dodgers, Otani versus Sanchez, and Bryce Harper obviously will have a huge hand in the series. You can have a big hand in the WIP Phillies Red October pep rally today. We got a big pep rally. It's going to happen from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. going to be at Stateside Live. That's what you know formally as Xfinity Live. So right down there in the sports complex, now called Stateside Live. Be there from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Joe and Hugh show, also Spike, Ike, and Jax, their show. And be there if you can, certainly. If not, you know, listen on WIP. Should
parking
be great...
is free, by the way.
Parking is free.
There you go.
And parking is available at the Xfinity Mobile Center, which is what we've always previously, well, not always, often referred to as the Wells Fargo Center. Used to be called 37 other
Among
thousand
other
names. Yeah. Anyway, the you know, the sports complex, you guys know the deal. Enter through the Broad Street gate when you park. It's free, as Rhea just said, and then walk to Stateside Live. It's all very close. We hope to see you down there. I may go down to sell my book. Seltzer, I need a big old gaggle of people, and then I'll sell the book. I mean, I got to get that nap in there at some point. You know?
Yeah, honestly, I'm not that worried about going on the air. I'm just worried about making sure I could scout for you. Like,
yeah.
That's the whole reason I'm going over.
Exactly.
You know?
Naturally.
James, the most famous scout in American history is who?
I mean,
come on.
It's not the most famous. The first one that came to mind was To Kill a Mockingbird, scout from To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh.
Jeb Stuart. Wasn't he a Confederate?
I think that scout from To Kill a Mockingbird is more famous.
Nah, Jeb Stuart, Civil War.
Really?
I don't know.
Who do we really
Scout
think is
Willis.
More famous?
What about the first Boy Scout?
Oh,
there
that's
go.
Pretty good, the Boy Scouts. All right, let's get to Jordan in Princeton right now. Jordan, I don't think we're about to talk about Jeb Stuart. Hello.
Well.
Oh.
Oh, you upset him so much with your Jeb Stuart
no.
comment.
Oh, no.
He was like, nope, can't talk
Jordan,
about it.
Jordan, call us back. We'll get to you. James, I need another highlight to Phils through the years in October. Crank it up.
Two balls and a strike. Here's the pitch. Howard swings and drives one. Deep right field. On the run, Gonzalez towards the track. It's over his head. One hops the wall. Victorino coming around third. He's going to score. Utley's right on his heels, and he is safe. A double by Howard has tied the game here in the top of the ninth with two outs. 4-4 in the ninth. Ryan Howard has come through and stunned this crowd in Colorado.
Oh, my.
That was so big. First off, Fransky sounds young. Let's start with that. Scott,
true.
If you're listening, I'm not saying you're old now. I'm just saying you sound particularly young there. And that was huge because the Phillies were about to play a game five, but he got that hit to extend the game. That's the one where he said famously, James, what did he say to the players in the dugout before that inning started?
Get me to the plate, boys.
That is correct.
One of the best lines ever.
Yeah, it was
and
so
to
good.
Come through on it, like how cool is that?
Yeah.
Like to well, say that, that's like calling your shot.
That hit and Jimmy's hit in the same October, which was the next round's game four, were similar in nature. They were games where you were about to lose and pulled them out.
Yeah, James, two outs in the ninth. I'm
yeah. Both. James, give me another highlight. Let's just rattle them off now.
Darvish kicks and deals. Swung on it. Wow. Deep to right field. Titanic shot into the second deck.
Yep.
Wow. The Phillies take a 2-0 lead. Kyle Schwarber signals to the bullpen as he gets to second base. That was as long a home run as you're going to see here at Petco Park.
James, was that game one, Phillies Padres?
Yeah, I remember. And Harper did like the O face that yeah. became the meme. The 488-foot home run in San Diego.
So I got to imagine it's the longest ever hit by a Philly in October. Well, I look, to be candid, I don't know what Schmitty and Bull did as far as length back in the late 70s and early 80s. But certainly I would think it's likely that that's the furthest home run ever hit by a Phillies player in October. All right, let's get to Jordan in Princeton. He's back. Jordan, good morning, pal.
You know the feeling of your heart dropping when you're about to get on the air and the call disconnects. It's not a good feeling. And what I don't want is for the Phillies to have that feeling when they come to the end of this series. Because I got to tell you something, the only thing I'm concerned about is the offense. That's the only concern I think that any of us should have here. If we look at the last couple of games, these wild card games, the only high-scoring team was the Dodgers. These were very low-scoring, pitcher-duel, eke-it-out type of games. And especially last night, like that game, Red Sox-Yankees, if those errors don't happen in the field, the two at first base, the missed catch in center, that would have been a game that could have gone either way. So very optimistic about my team, little nervous about the offense. He named a couple of names that need to step up. I certainly hope that they do, but I really think that that's the only thing we got to worry about.
So, Jordan, I'm with you on a lot of fronts except your use of the word only, because I think you're shortchanging the ills of the bullpen. I'm just telling you, my man, Duran, Strom, Robertson deserve faith, but after that, man... I'm telling you, like, Banks will say he played well this year. There's no question. This is a whole different level. Nola could be coming out of the bullpen. I mean, probably will. Maybe in some big spots. I don't mean the eighth inning. I mean it might be the sixth inning. You know, this is not – you don't win a World Series with only three guys that come through in the bullpen. You don't. You just don't. So
I have a surprising amount of confidence, not just in the bullpen, with the exception of Orion Kerkering. I have a lot of confidence in the rotation. I have a lot of confidence in the bullpen. I mean, I think these guys have shown that they can get it done. Our losses this year is when the offense didn't show up. And I don't want this to be a pattern. You know, I watched the Mets series last year. I was at game seven against the Diamondbacks. There is nothing more frustrating than watching your baseball team unable to plate runs. So I don't believe that that's going to be a problem this year because they went from long ball to small ball during this season, and that was my biggest hope in the offseason, is that these guys figure out how to play a different style of offense. I feel like they did that successfully.
I agree.
I think Bader's in there, and you know, that's why I'm nervous, but I have a lot of confidence.
All right, Jordan, give me an answer for something red.
If I just have one thing quickly, we got some not such great news about my wife's grandfather last night. He's 91 years old. He's a very, very special man to me. This is a man that waited in line at Ebbets Field for 1950 World Series tickets. He actually camped out with his buddies overnight to get those tickets, and that wasn't a great series, so we're hoping for a better outcome. But more than anything this year, for my grandfather, Alan, for my family, I hope the Phillies bring it home, and I hope he's around to watch this victory because I want to go to a parade in his honor.
Well, that's very nice of you to put that tribute out to your grandfather on the air, Jordan. We wish him and your family the absolute best with that situation. Give us something red, Mike.
He's the guy I call every day after a Phillies game. And so in honor of that, if no one said it, how about the red pinstripes of the Philadelphia Phillies for a World Series win?
Seltzer, is that too close to Red October? Probably is, right?
A little close, yeah.
Yeah, Jordan, you're right. You're too reddish with the Phils. Give me
something else. Then I have an intellectual answer. How about Nathaniel Hall from Scarlet Letter? Let's wear a loser red A like the
Braves, you know? All right, Jordan, you got it, my man. 215-592-94.
You guys okay? Sound like there's some alarms going off.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what's going on.
I figured I had to address it because every listener is hearing it. I just want to make sure everything's okay.
There's some flashing lights. They did make an announcement, but I couldn't hear what they were saying.
Yeah, there's an announcement.
No one seems too alarmed, though.
No.
Everyone's kind of just
okay, good. I just wanted to check because it was very clear over the air what was happening.
But James, just to let you know, I'm closest to the doors, so if I say anything, I'm taking off.
Good,
and
Joseph's
going to have to drag his leg down the hallway.
Yeah, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take that guy out of that car, kicking that guy out. I'm taking a scooter down. That's what I'm doing. Get out, buddy. All right. What movie was that? Terminator 2, when the guy climbs in the bad guy climbs in the truck and says get out, and the guy just falls out of the truck.
Oh yeah, that Robert Patrick.
All right.
You've been listening to the best of the Phillies on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Swing and a high fly ball deep right center field. That one's up the alley on the run. Call, he won't get it. It's gone. And back and forth they go. And Bryce Harper with a big raise of the fist running around second base as he's given the Phillies a 5-4 lead.
On the night, the Phillies clinch the NL East. Welcome back. It is the Midday Show broadcasting at Stateside Live for 94 WIP's Red October Rally. Come on by. You can park in parking lot S and walk over here, formerly Xfinity Live. Now, Stateside Live. Hugh joining us right now. We will have Rob Thompson's press conference in a little bit here as he talks about the roster and decisions they have to make with this thing as we get ready for Games 1 tomorrow night. Our guy, Ben Davis, with us. Ben, what's up?
How we doing?
Ben,
we're
October.
Good, man. Excited.
We're great.
We are excited. Big time.
It's a battle of titans. We saw you a couple mornings ago as you were leaving the morning show. We were coming in for our show, and we were talking about it. I mean, Ben, this does not feel like a division series. This feels like an LCS or a World Series.
Yeah, it does. This two best teams in baseball going at it, and that's the bottom line. And I think it's going to be a great five-game series. Hopefully the Phils win. And three would be great. It's just nip it in the bud and move on. But I don't see that happening. I think it's going to go. I think it's going to go four games personally, but possibility of five. But bottom line is just win, baby. Just win.
Just win. And they have look. There's a lot of pitfalls we got to deal with in this series, including the top of their lineup. Ben, one thing I heard the other night after the game, Mookie Betts was talking about how if it was him, he wouldn't pitch to Shohei Ohtani. But it's Mookie Betts behind Shohei Ohtani. How do you think the Phillies are going to navigate that in big moments? Because typically when there's a hitter as great as Ohtani, you do think about pitching around him, right? He's in that class. I couldn't do that. I can't just give them free base runners when Mookie Betts is behind him.
Correct. And the Phillies, knock on wood, have handled Ohtani in years past. That's the bottom line. Rob Thompson is very content in going after him. And right now, I do not want to pitch to Mookie Betts because Mookie Betts is doing Mookie Betts things, and that's not good for the Phillies. He's one of the most dynamic players in baseball. But Ohtani, the Phillies just pitch him well. And let's hope that trend continues. But Rob Thompson is not one to put guys on base and start that ball rolling because this is a deep lineup, especially 1-4. I put Teoscar in there as well. He's very talented and provides a lot of thump in the middle of that lineup. But you get through those top four, I like the Phillies' chances.
You know what, Ben, we were talking about this, and I'm kind of curious how you feel about this. The way this team is constructed right now, I personally don't think that we have to have the October Bryce that we've had in the past. How do you feel about that? Because Joe feels like we need to have, you know, Bryce being doing Bryce Harper things in October.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's built for this. He is a red light player. We've seen him do it in the past. But I agree with Joe. I think he's got to step it up. He needs to be that guy, the heart and soul of that lineup. Mm-hmm. But it's not just him, Hugh. This has got to be 1-9. It has to be a concerted effort. They have to be better offensively. The reason they've lost the last 3 years is because of their offense. You can say what you want about their pitching. Oh, Kimbrel blew it a couple years ago. They stopped hitting. They have to be more consistent. They can't go 0-18 in some of these games. They have to be more consistent offensively. If they do, they will win.
Well, and I think we feel better about that possibility because the lineup just looks deeper. I mean, and look, these guys have hit. Marsh since the end of April has been good. Stott since the end of July has been good. And I can't say enough good things about Harrison Bader. I mean, what an addition by Dave Dombrowski. And the crazy part, Ben, is we didn't really see this coming. Like, when they got him, we were all in the air that day. And we're like, all right, he's a good player, right? But he's a good player. He's been an all-star level player since he got here. It feels, too, like he's changed the energy and the vibe. He's just a difference maker.
He is a difference maker. And, you know, Dave Dombrowski was on the afternoon show about a week ago, and he said, we kind of knew what we were going. We didn't expect him to be this good.
Right.
But he has been. He has been provided. There's a lot of stoic players on the Phillies, but I think Bader, he gives them a little bit of an edge. And I think that's what this ball club needed. He's been great. This dude is finding holes. That's the bottom line. I know all his hits aren't always pretty, but he's getting hits. He's finding holes. And what he's doing in center field is, I mean, this guy can go get him. Yeah, he can flat out go get him. I was talking with first base coach Paco Figueroa last Friday, and he loves the way this guy prepares, the way he plays. And, again, he does bring that different edge to this ball club, which I think they needed.
All right, quickly, we're going to have Topper coming up in a few minutes. We're going to take his press conference live. You see in the postseason sometimes, Ben, teams use their relief pitchers, their best ones, a little bit differently because the biggest moments, you got to use them. How would you use Duran? And what I mean, he's the ninth inning guy. We know that. He's been that. He's a closer. But if we get to a moment where Ohtani, Betts, Freeman are coming up in the eighth, would you use him, or is he your ninth inning guy?
I think you kind of have to use him in that situation.
That's where I'm at.
Because I know that won't go down. It's a quote-unquote a save.
But that's the
but
save.
That's, yeah. That's you're save, actually saving the ball club if you were able to get those guys out, whether that be in the seventh inning or eighth inning. But I think he'll be deployed maybe a little strategically, I think, by Topper. He's not afraid. I wouldn't be surprised if he threw two innings. He's done it in Minnesota, and Topper, I think, will be able to do that in the postseason.
Yeah, and look, if you can get that, it changes the game. Multiple innings. And we saw, I know they lost the series, but Mason Miller in Ooh-wee. San Diego, 104.5 on the outside.
That's fast.
That's a joke. I mean, that is literally don't blink. Literally. These guys are just built differently, yeah. I guess. 104 is this. How about Chapman? I mean, Chapman last night throwing 101.
I know.
This guy's 106 years old. He's still throwing 101.
His arm's still got it.
It's unbelievable. No, it's just these guys, they know how to light up the radar gun. But, yeah, I'm kind of glad the Padres are out because I think they would have been should the Phillies move on, they would be a big test for them.
I agree. All right, quickly with that. Cubs, Brewers. Who do you think wins that series? Because once we get through this, that's who we got to see to get to the World Series.
I think the Brewers win that.
Yeah. Phillies Brewers would be a good NLCS.
It would be. And, you know, the Brewers play very good fundamental baseball. They steal bases. They get bunts down. Their defense is off the charts. Their bullpen is really, really good. They're in a good spot. I see them moving past the Cubs.
Yeah, it'll be a fun NLCS if it's there. All right, coming up, and we appreciate Ben hopping in. We will carry Rob Thompson's press conference live right here on the Midday Show from Stateside Live on Sports Radio 94 WIP. NFL Sunday's coming. You've got your crew, your couch, your snacks, your slate, and FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino is coming in with something extra. This isn't just an NFL Sunday. It's your chance to place that perfect parlay or hit your go-to player prop, and now FanDuel's making it even better. This week, FanDuel's bringing the bonus. That's right. Right now, all customers get a 50% prop boost on any bet. However you play your game, FanDuel's got your back with something extra in your account because that's what Sunday should feel like. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to download the app and get in on the action before kickoff. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the best of the Phillies on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
And McCullers kicks and comes home. And the pitch swung on. Hit deep. Right field. And the Phillies are going to lead it.
Yeah, they are.
Bryce Harper has put the Phillies on top with a two-run home run over the out-of-town scoreboard. Simply amazing. Harper here at home has homered on back-to-back swings.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We are at Stateside Live in South Philly for the Red October Rally. Joining us now, CEO and managing partner of the Philadelphia Phillies, John Middleton. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Spike. Nice to be here. Thanks to all the fans.
So, you know, CEO and managing partner, so but also a fan. So
Fan first.
So heading into this series against the Dodgers, would you describe how you feel as nervous or excited?
What would you put nauseous on?
I think you.
Is that extreme nervousness?
Yeah.
I think so.
I think you're right there with us. Yeah. So I asked Dave Dombrowski this question when we had him on a couple of weeks ago, but I think it's appropriate for you as well. You know, everything that happens with the Phillies, you have to stamp and say yes. So you have a lot of control over what happens with the Phillies. But once the team hits the field, you have no control at all, right? They just have to win or lose.
Yeah, they perform or not.
Yeah. How emotionally, how is that for you to have so much control until a point and then the wins and losses are just completely out of your hands?
So a couple of things. One, Dave really has the control.
Sure.
I mean, do I approve things? Do we talk about everything? Yes.
Yep. But,
I mean, it's not like I listen to Dave and say, well, okay, that's who you want to start your pitching. No, here's who you're going to start.
Right.
That's never happened. It never will happen. If it does, I should be removed from office. So Dave makes those calls. I'm involved. I'm informed. We just 10, 15 minutes ago finished a conversation about what was going to happen. We hope, we expect. But, you know, you get used to it. It's hard. This is my ninth postseason. It's difficult to let go and realize you have no power, no authority to do anything, no ability to influence anything. But you just have to, it's part of the job, and you have to get used to it and accept it. I remember talking to Ruben back like in 8 and 9 because he played, and he said, you know, it's so different being on this side. And not being it, because he said when you're playing, you have things you have to do to get ready for the game. I mean, you have certain rituals, you have warming up and things like that. So he said you can think about how you can influence, get yourself ready, and then how you can influence the game. But up here, he said, you're totally out of control.
It makes me think of the scenes in Moneyball where Brad Pitt, who was playing Billy Bean during the games, would just go and lift weights to get rid of his anxiety.
Yeah, because you can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
From 2012 to 22, we didn't have postseason baseball. And getting postseason baseball back here in 2022, I think for a lot of us, reminded us what Red October was like.
It's a pretty great run.
Yes, right? So when you're in it in 07 to 11 and you win a World Series and you go to two, sometimes you think that's going to last forever, and then it doesn't. But then you don't have it for a while, and then it comes back. And I know, at least for me, there is a greater appreciation for where the baseball team and the organization is at right now, that you try to enjoy it a little more. What's that like for you being in this position?
So, you know,
I think what I find really exciting about where we are right now is that the mandate, when I was talking to Dave, and by the way, our conversation was, we had two conversations before I hired him. The first one was kind of for me to listen to him why he was saying no to everybody, and my explaining to him why his reasons for no didn't apply, at least in my opinion, to us. And then the second conversation was after he kind of did some checking within baseball, was when we actually hired him. That was literally a 5 to maybe 7 minute conversation. And he asked me, he said, what do you want me to do? And I said, it's pretty simple. I want you to win now, and I want you to win later. So you got to figure out between trading everybody away or trading no one away where you are at any point in time to help maximize winning now and winning later. And what Dave has done is build a really, really good organization around him. I'm just so impressed with what he's done, and he's done that on his own without me, so I can compliment him without I'm not giving myself a compliment, and because I had nothing to do with it. He just hired these people, and they've done a great job. I mean, Brian Barber's done a terrific job with the draft, and Preston Mattingly, and now Luke Merton in the minor league development system, and we're really positioned well. I mean, we've got, you know, we've traded some talent away in the last couple of years. I mean, I hated to lose the two guys this year we traded to Minnesota because they were both really promising people. But, you know, we needed them. And, you know, when you look down into the minor leagues, Dave felt that he could, he could replace them, that there were people coming up, and then in a year or two there would be some people who would replace them. And you can only do that with a really good organization. Pat Gillick told me, the second day he was on the job, that he said, you know, really good organizations consistently put good teams on the field that consistently compete for the playoffs, often get in. And that's what Dave has done. He's built a really good organization that I think will keep us competitive for a long, long time. I mean, the goal is to not be 5 years and then bust.
Right.
And I think when you look down at who our players are in the minor league system, you can see talent coming up. And not everybody develops. And even there are lots of three hitters who hit 320 in AAA who hit 240 in the major leagues. So it's a huge jump. But I'm optimistic, and I'm really proud of Dave and his team for what they've done.
How hard is it to not be impatient in those sort of situations when, you know, the team has been so close over the last few years, and that, you know, I know ultimately you said it's Dave that makes those choices, but, you know, you're always trying to balance, you know, this year and the future. How difficult is it to find that right balance and to not get impatient?
Well, I think you have to remember, and it comes with experience, that you can push all the right buttons and have all the right players. And players, you can even, well, there's two things they can go. The players may not play as well as they should, and it happens. And you look at like the 76, 77, 78 team, and then you go out and get Pete Rose, and you think, well, okay, they won the Eastern Division for 3 years, and they got Pete Rose, and what do? They went out and finished fourth in the division in 79. Now, they did win it in 80.
Yep.
But the point is, you go out and add players like that, and it doesn't necessarily mean, even if they perform, and Pete really performed well in 79, that you're going to win. But you also have, you know, risks of injuries. You have, you know, frankly, bad calls that are made that, you know, maybe change an at-bat, and the at-bat changes an inning, and the inning changes the game, and the game changes the series. So, you know, when you look at it and think about, do I push all my chips in the middle of the table? You know, the experience tells you can do that, and you still aren't going to win.
Yep.
And look, I mean, I'm sure up in New York, they're kind of scratching their heads and saying, how does a team that goes to the NLCS last year and adds Juan Soto, and he plays really, really well, he's one of the, what, top four, five, six bats in baseball, and they don't make it? You know, it's just, it happens. They have a lot of injuries to their pitching rotation that you just can't predict, and you can't help. So you always have to be balanced, and I am impatient, and that's why I had no business talking to Dave and telling Dave what to do, because Dave is patient.
It really feels like...
You got to know your limitations.
Yeah, for sure. So it really feels different. You know, last year had another stretch run. It was like, I just hope they get in, to flip the switch, and they're fine. This year, I think people they cannot wait to get to the ballpark tomorrow. How much differently do you feel about this year's team versus last year's team at this time?
A lot, and that really has, I think, to do with two things. You touched on one. I mean, you look at the last, whatever, you know, 4, 6, 8 weeks a year ago, and you look at the last couple of months with us, and it depends on where you want to draw or start the process. You can look at it post-All-Star game. You can look at it August, September. You could look at it kind of post-Zach Wheeler, you know, being hurt. But, I mean, you know, we had the best winning record in the National League after Zach Wheeler went down. I mean, think about that.
Crazy.
I mean, you know, it's just, it's nuts. And so that's how good the team is, how deep it is, how resilient it is. And that's the other thing. I think this team is the toughest team I've seen since the 08 team, frankly, maybe 09 team. But it's just, I mean, they go up to Milwaukee and take 2 out of 3 there. They come down and they sweep the Mets in 4. You know, and then they go out to L.A. and you don't have Zach. And you don't have Trey, and you don't have Alec, and you don't have Edmundo, and you don't have Jose. And they, by the way, we sat on the runway for 5.5 hours. We landed in L.A. at 4:40 Philadelphia time, got to the hotel at 5:40 Philadelphia time, went to bed at 6 o'clock, 6:15 Philadelphia time. And they get up with all those players missing, and they beat L.A. in L.A. And just to make, you know, they come back the next day and beat them again. And that's just, I don't know that there's another of the 28 teams in baseball that could go out to L.A. with those 5 players missing from their staff and take 2 out of 3 from L.A. That's a tough team. And they won. They kept coming back. The games were back and forth, and they just kind of gutted them out at the end. That's a tough team. And I have not seen that quality at that level in prior teams in this run.
You don't get that done without having someone with a steady hand that could steer this whole thing.
Well, that would be Rob.
And that's where I'm going. Yeah. I think it's been his best year as a manager. No disrespect to what he's done prior, but...
Oh, I would agree. I mean, I don't know that he's going to get manager of the year, but in my opinion, when you look at the players that he had lost and stuff, you know, Bryce was injured. You know, he was out for like almost a month and came back and his right wrist was still sore and whatnot. He's done a spectacular job, I think, of keeping the team on an even keel, keeping them motivated, juggling the bullpen. I mean, you know, we've had troubles there. Jose was missing for half the season. Romano was up and down and then injured. But he's just kept plugging away and kept the team focused and playing at a consistently high level. It's the most consistent I've seen the Phillies play since the 11 team by far.
The goal, obviously, as you have stated, is to bring the trophy back here to win a World Series. Baseball is a weird sport in that the best team doesn't always win the World Series, and it's very hard to build a team much, much better than the other good teams. So, aside, putting a World Series aside, how do you, at the end of the year, say to yourself whether this was a successful season or not?
I think if you don't win... You have to look at why you didn't win and try to then, because I think the answer to that question is really leads to the answer to your question. Mm-hmm. You know, you just, my father's standard that he started hammering into my head when I was 7 years old was that, you know, you should, no one has the right to expect you to do more than to try your very best, but you should always be giving your very best. And, you know, I think if you can look in the mirror and say, look, we did everything we could, you know, there's a difference between not achieving your goals and failing. And I think you can not achieve your goals, but not have failed.
You guys have some pretty big free agents coming up. Kyle Schwarber, I don't know if you've heard of it. Ranger Suarez, JT Realmuto, all fan favorites.
Bader
as well. Yeah. Another fan favorite very quickly. When you're making those decisions in the offseason, and I mentioned fan favorites, like, does fan sentiment come into play at all? And if so, how much?
For the most part, it doesn't and it can't.
Right.
Because if you kind of, you might as well just open up a Google poll and just say, do we re-sign this guy or not? Yes or no, and count the votes at the end of 24 hours or 48 hours. But more to the point is, if you do your job properly, and you let somebody go and you bring somebody in and they perform,
fans respect that, understand that, and they'll accept that person. I think actually Lizardo is a perfect example of that. I mean, we didn't get Crochet a year ago at the trade deadline. Got really, really close. Still can't believe they turned down our offer, but they did. Didn't get him in the offseason. And so Dave pivoted and brought in Lizardo, and he's pitched really, really well.
Yeah.
And not that people will say, well, we didn't need Crochet. We did, but we found somebody else.
Yep.
And that's what you have to do.
Was there a point when Kyle Schwarber just kept hitting the home runs when you were like, okay, enough?
No, never.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, you just, the more home runs he hits, the better our chances are to win. And yep. At the end of the day, that's what it's about, winning. And you pay whatever price you have to pay.
I love your authenticity when it comes to being a fan. And it's relatable to the fans. And that seems to be very important to you. Obviously, you know, you got paying customers and that thing, that sort of thing. But it's more than that with you. And it's genuine. And I think fans recognize that. But having that relationship also seems to be important to you. Why is that important to you, that you seem to be out there able to be touched by your fans and by the people who pay for the tickets to come in?
Well, I guess the first thing is I like people. I mean, I like talking to people, I like being around people. You know, my grandmother's favorite adage was, you know better than anybody else, but you're second to none. It's another way of saying, you know, we're all equal. That, you know, you're no better than anybody else, but you're also, nobody else is better than you are. Right. And that's, you know, I've always learned that. I learned that from time as a little kid. You know, in my work, prior work experiences, we had factories, we had hotels. I mean, it didn't matter what your job was. You're no better. You know, the guys who were first year who were sweeping the factory floors had the same health care benefits that my father and I had. They had the same bonus plan my father and I had. I mean, we just treated everybody equally, and it's been important. And in my life, it was important to my father and my grandfather, and I could see how people reacted to them growing up. And they liked them, and so I just tried to model myself after the two of them. And it means a lot to me. I love walking around the stands. Fans remind you what your job is and why it's important. It's easy if you hang out in your office. You sometimes can lose sight of that. But when you go out into the stadium, or you're just walking around the streets of Philadelphia, and they talk to you, you know, if you stop and take the time to talk to them, they'll remind you what I'm supposed to be doing and why I'm supposed to be doing it. And it gets you excited. And you see their excitement about the team, the players, you know, their aspirations. It feeds on itself. And it's really good for me.
Yeah, and off that, you know, just like, we don't get to talk to you that often. Like, it's so refreshing hearing you talk. And we talk about how with this team, we want to win a title, not only for us, like obviously fans want a title, but you want Bryce to have that moment.
Absolutely.
You want Bryce to have a parade down Broad Street. You want Zach Wheeler, everything he's gone through, to have a World Series title. But I think that you are also in there too, where you've invested a lot in this team, and I think you've helped bring this team into the 21st century. And I think this city wants you to get a ring as well.
Wow. And that's nice.
And like, what does that mean to you? From like, what would winning a title mean to you?
So, I guess it was Bob Nightingale who asked me out in we were out in Arizona, a similar question. They asked, and I said, Bob, I said, in my professional life, what I'm doing right now is the single most important thing I've ever done. It's the most important challenge I've ever had. It would be the most rewarding accomplishment if we're able to do what I want to do. So that's what it means. It's kind of everything.
It's your legacy.
What's that?
It's your legacy.
Yeah, it is. And I said that to him. I said, you know, all the things that I've done before, I said, it pales in comparison.
Yeah.
I said, if anybody, including my great-great-grandchildren, are going to remember me 50 or 100 years from now, it's going to be because of what I do here, not what I did before.
Amen. Amen.
You mentioned convincing Dave Dombrowski to come here, and you know, we all followed I remember the Bryce Harper situation. We were all following your plane going out to Las Vegas. So when you are trying to sell someone on not just the Phillies, but Philadelphia. When you're selling someone on that, whether it be Dave Dombrowski or Bryce Harper, what is that? Like, what is the sell on the organization? What is the sell on being here?
So I have always felt that when you're interviewing people, and the better the person you're interviewing, the more they're interviewing you too.
Right.
I'm selling myself, I'm selling the organization, but I really have to make, as if I'm the leader, they're looking at me and saying, why do I want to hitch my wagon to your star? What are you going to do that makes this a good decision for me to join you? And so that's what I do. And part of that is just being authentic and trying to be honest with them. I mean, you can't sugarcoat things. If there's problems, you got to tell them about them. And then you need to tell them how you think they can help you solve those problems. That's all I try to do, frankly.
You've been in this specific position with the Phillies since 2016, and the organization's in a really good spot right now. When you look back on this portion, what are you most proud of, and is there anything that you'd like to have back?
Well, I'm most proud of the way the organization has developed over the last 10 years. And that's both on the base, certainly on the baseball side. I talked about that earlier in the interview, but on the business side too. We are a much, much better business team than we were 10 years ago. And we've added great talent, just the way Dave's added it. And with people like Preston and Sam Fold, we've added it on the business side. And I'm proud of that because it's the organization that will carry you into the future. I mean, I'm not, neither Dave nor I can do everything, and we don't have any intentions of even trying to do that. So you have to work through other people, and you're only as strong as your weak links in business. And so that's what I'm really most proud of.
Before we let you go, the guy in the end there, Jack, I don't know how well you know Jack. Jack is the biggest Phillies fan I've ever met in my whole life. He's so tense during games, we can't even be near him. He hosts this giant Phillies podcast. He was part of the standing ovation for Trey. And I'm not asking. I'm just lobbying my support. I feel like one day Jack should throw out a first pitch.
I think that would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think we can do that.
And he's got a good arm. We saw him strike out our morning show host like six times a few weeks ago. He can throw 80.
Seriously?
He might
throw 80?
Yeah. 78 and up.
I think he's 65.
Oh, come on, man. Come on, man. I used to sit 82 to 84. Everyone knows that.
He's got a big arm. So I'm just lobbying my support because I need to see Jack. And if he bounces it up there, we get to hold that over his head for the rest of his life.
And that's not a bad thing.
No.
Not a bad result.
So not only do we thank you for your time today, but, Ike mentioned, for a lot of years here, we didn't have this. At this part of the year, we weren't thinking about the Phillies anymore. Yeah, we were thinking about the Eagles. And now it's really nice to have to balance, our schedules around playoff baseball.
You get two playoff games sandwiched around a football game on Sunday.
Yep,
it's going to be a great weekend.
Sydney's going to be tired.
Yeah. You got to remember, I was there back, obviously, in 80.
Yep.
I mean, in the spring, people are going to, playoff games with the Flyers and the Sixers and then coming over to the vet. And then in the fall, they were coming to the vet and then leaving to go watch a football game later that day. I mean, it was spectacular. It was great.
Well, thank you. I know it takes a village, and it is an entire organization, but it doesn't happen with you leading the charge. And we're so excited to not just cheer on the team, but to be Phillies fans and celebrate if they win and be mad as hell when they lose. But it's good to feel something.
Well, so we all feel really good come mid-November.
Yes, right. Would love that. Would love that.
That's what we're going for.
All right. Well, let's get another. Let's get another parade. We just had one, but we're due. Feel due. So,
all right.
Thank you so much. There he is, John Middleton.
Thank you, guys.
CEO and managing partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. Appreciate your time, John. So, coming up on the show, we do have Ruben Amaro joins us in a bit. Then Tom McCarthy will join us at 4:00, and then Jesus Lizardo at some point later on in the show. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
You've been listening to the best of the Phillies on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.